This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite drop in money. And broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. 99.5 HD2 and YouTube.com. Good morning, YouTube. You can reach the show and the radio station at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say today.
Who has a noodle arm?
I'd go Spencer Rattler as your noodle arm of the day.
Really?
I'm just trying to think of a quarterback who's going to be on my TV.
Strong gun last
week. And I can't pick Bo Nix, even though his yard per attempt is like -6.4 right now. But that's all right. We're going to look past that stat.
Is Bo Nix only good when they're down 20?
Yes. He made me sweat out that bet last weekend. I thought that thing was cash. It was, 21-0? And I'm like, what is happening in the second half? And they thankfully fumbled late, and they were able to seal it.
He was throwing 1.4 yards per attempt, and then they went down 20, and he just became a good quarterback. And I'm like, what is this?
I think it's what you see at the end of halves, and sometimes like when an offense can't do anything, and then all of a sudden you go into a two-minute drill, and you're kind of in a hurry-up, and you don't have time to think, and you're getting a little more base coverage. Like, a team's up 21-0, you're not calling exotic blitzes probably at that point. You're just saying, all right, let's keep everything in front of us. Don't give up a big play. And so he's getting a lot of underneath stuff. He's getting easy completions. And then they get into a rhythm offensively. We'll see if they do that right out of the gate tonight.
That's like there was a clip in Cleveland a couple weeks ago, and a listener basically jumped on the radio, and the host was like, what do you want him to do? What? Because they were blaming Stefanski.
Yeah.
And the listener was like, why isn't he running a college system? Hurry up offense the whole game.
Let's go, man.
He's like, does that sound logical to you to just run a hurry up 2-minute offense the entire game?
NFL offensive linemen can keep up with that pace.
Yeah.
Get them moving.
Sure.
Little tempo.
Okay.
Sense of urgency, Cleveland. Come on.
By the way, they lost the Orange Bowl.
Yes, they did. 31-10 to Florida State. I'm a little ashamed of myself right now, to be honest with you.
I feel like to watch the most college football, and you didn't even remember he was a person.
No, I don't. I mean, and then I'm looking through, and I remember the Seahawks drafting him now. Like, it's all, like, flashing back to me, like I'm getting those. But for some reason, I got a blind spot with 2012-2013 Northern Illinois.
Yeah, we're talking Jordan Lynch. Welcome in on a Thursday morning.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
NFL slate's good this weekend.
It's awesome this weekend.
I don't know why, but I take exception to college football media people acting like every game in college football is amazing and the NFL sucks. I don't know why I take offense to that.
Yeah, I will say last weekend for me was a weekend. I don't do it every weekend.
Your team beat Ohio State.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, when you look, because you did have the USC-Penn State comeback. Ole Miss-LSU was a bananas game. Like, there were a handful of them that were really good. I thought the NFL kind of sucked last weekend.
I thought the afternoon sucked.
The afternoon sucked.
Morning slate was good.
I don't know about good.
I don't know about good.
I don't know how we differentiate what's good in college and what's not good in the NFL. I just don't get it.
Double overtime thrillers. I need rankings. That's what I need. I told you. I need a number 7 upsetting a number 1, and then I'm more interested in it.
You need rankings.
I need Kansas City and San Francisco with a number next to their name, so I get the 8-seeded Niners upsetting the number 1-seed Kansas City Chiefs.
So Colts-Titans didn't do anything for you, because that was a 2017 game.
Did literally nothing for me.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
Bucks-Saints had a lot of points until the Bucks blew them out.
They won by 30.
Yeah.
They did.
Eagles almost lost to the Browns in Philadelphia.
That was entertaining. I'll grant you that.
The Commies were hanging with the Ravens.
They did. Kind of. Yeah.
And the Broncos had a comeback against the Chargers.
No, they did. That, it's okay to admit, last week in the NFL wasn't very good. Your overall point is correct. College people do this way too often.
Why do they do this? Why can't I just love all the football?
I love all the football. And good football is good football, and bad football is bad football. It's okay to classify it.
Well, Denver, New Orleans is tonight on Thursday night. So you got Bo Nix in prime time. He's got 1,082 yards, 5 tutties, 5 picks. Mm-hmm. Denver is a 3-point road favorite, and the Saints are banged up as all hell.
A 2-0 start. They've now lost 4 games in a row. A loss tonight would be detrimental to their chances to make the playoff, to say the least.
I'm proud of myself. I didn't do what the rest of the national media did and get over my skis of them scoring 40 points. I just said, I might be wrong, but I'm not changing my opinion on
them. You did the whole, you know how many games you play in a regular season?
Yeah.
17, so yeah. 2 is great. You're 2-0. You've looked awesome, but you got 15 of those bad boys left on your schedule.
Serious question here.
Yep.
Doug Peterson getting fired if they lose to the Patriots, or is that guy just going to let it ride out for the whole year? Because they would be 1-6, and they're 5.5-point favorites against a bad Patriot team.
If you lose that game to a rookie quarterback making his second start, yeah, you should be fired.
And
at
you
that
stayed
point.
In London. New England had to travel to London.
You got the benefit of being over there and the body clock and all that stuff. The poor Brits were giving them 1-5 Jags, 1-5 Pats. Just a horrendous football game. I will not be waking up early and watching this just because I don't care about either of those teams.
Sure.
But yes, to answer your question, you could argue he probably should have been fired last week, but I would fire him this week if he loses to New England.
We have a Super Bowl rematch, Chiefs at Niners.
We do.
Patrick Mahomes is an underdog, is 13-3. And Kyle Shanahan says, we can't watch the Super Bowl tape. It'll give us PTSD.
Yeah, Bosa, I think, had a similar comment as well. It was like, yeah, we're having to watch that film, and it's not very fun right now.
I also really enjoy honesty from athletes. And Fred Warner was asked yesterday about what it's like to defend Patrick Mahomes. And he said, it's exhausting because every play is basically 2 plays.
Yeah.
Because the minute something doesn't work, guess who improvises? That guy.
Yeah.
So he says, eat a good breakfast. And be ready, because you're going to do a lot of running.
His t-shirt was awesome, too. He had a Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice t-shirt on yesterday, which was just nostalgia feels right there. I mean, you could play perfect defense for 6 seconds, and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't, and that's
nothing
why they
matters.
Win.
That's why they find a way to win.
They're also coming off of a bye, and San Francisco got a little bit of an extended rest, but they're coming off of a road game from last Thursday against Seattle. And the Seahawks, speaking of the Seahawks, they're going on the road to Atlanta. And I don't know if you've watched any Atlanta-Carolina, and I don't blame you if you didn't. Atlanta's got the same things they've had for what feels like 5 years now, where every game they play is never comfortable.
It's a one-score game.
They always play to their opponent.
Yes.
So I have no idea how to feel about Atlanta-Seattle, other than to say, Seahawks fan is not enjoying the offensive line stuff right now.
No, they haven't been playing great. They're banged up front. The defensive line's been incredibly banged up as well. They made a trade earlier this week to try and address that.
Don't have a run game.
They can't run the football, and if you can't do that, it makes it incredibly hard to function at a high level offensively. Another team that, without a kickoff return in that Thursday game against San Francisco, that kind of shot them out of a cannon as a team a little bit, if you will. Outside of that, I mean, they were bottled up completely in the first half of that game until the crowd woke up. Similar to the Saints, man, this is a 3-0 team with wins over 3 bad teams. And we were kind of, well, how good are you? You beat the Broncos in Bo Nix's first start. You went on the road and needed a last-second field goal to beat a really bad New England team. And then you came home and played the Dolphins with a 17th-string quarterback. And you won the game 24-3, but it wasn't like it was a blowout from start to finish.
Took a while to get to that blowout.
Took a while, and then you had the bad loss. Not bad, but you lost in Detroit when you couldn't stop anything. Horrendous loss at home to the Giants. And then the Niners would have body bagged you without a kickoff return for a touchdown, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the next 2 weeks, you go at Atlanta on the road, and you come home and play Buffalo. And so all of a sudden, you're looking at this thing maybe being a four-game skid or a five-game skid.
Yeah.
It's a massive one early in the year for Seattle on the road in an East Coast kick time.
But again, acknowledging Atlanta always makes it hard on themselves.
Yes, this game will be uncomfortable for Atlanta. I don't know. I think they're going to win it, but it will be uncomfortable for them.
What game will be the better game of the weekend? Texans-Packers, Texas going to Lambeau Field, or Lions going to undefeated Minnesota?
Man, I think I'm going to go Detroit-Minnesota.
Because I love a home team in one of those games, and I love a road team in one of those games. Well, look, I might be spraying line on those games.
Look, we all know that you are anti-Minnesota Vikings. You're a known Minnesota Vikings hater. You're anti-Vikings. You want to hate on my team.
Nope.
It's fine. Not Kirk true. Cousins is gone. He can't hurt you anymore, okay? They got Sam Darnold now. It's all right. You can move on. I would go Detroit-Minnesota. I know you love Detroit this weekend.
Yeah.
I go the other way in the Green Bay-Houston game. I love Green Bay this weekend. What they did last week.
What do you mean you go the other way?
Well, the other way in terms of you really like Detroit to win that game, and maybe you do with Green Bay as well. I don't have a strong feeling on Detroit and Minnesota. We've done this in Minnesota a couple of times when they went on the road to Green Bay. Everybody loved Green Bay that week.
Yeah.
We've done it a few times with them when they hosted San Francisco 49ers earlier this year. I don't have a strong feel on that game. I do have a strong feel on Green Bay and Houston. I love Green Bay in that game. And so if you ask me which one in my mind ends up being better, I would go Detroit, Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what Green Bay does because they've had moments where it's been a little shaky in their games, but they've taken care of their business. Love is getting back into the flow of things after that injury. Houston, like, there was never really a... They took care of their business last week against a bad New England team, but they're 5-1.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're right there. Kansas City loses to San Francisco, and they win at Green Bay.
I have an inside track for a number one seed, maybe, in the AFC.
You start to say, okay, no Nico Collins, 2-0 potentially, beating Green Bay in Green Bay. I don't know what the weather's going to be in Green Bay this weekend, but...
I think we have 50-something degrees and some showers this weekend.
Okay, so it might get a little weird. This is where physicality starts to matter. This is where... The line play and the run game, and Mixon is back now. They just traded Cam Akers to Minnesota. So I'm kind of curious to see what Stroud and company are going to be at Lambeau. And then I don't hate Minnesota. I've been wrong on Minnesota so far. Minnesota's going to lose a game. They're not undefeated.
Are we sure about that?
This is a massive divisional game.
We sure about that?
Well, I mean, they might win. They might be 6-0, and I'll come in on Monday or Tuesday and say, like, hey, Minnesota, one seed in the NFC. Who saw it coming?
Now, they're off of a bye. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are the Vikings off of a bye?
They are, yes.
They didn't play last week. So they're coming in fresh, and Detroit's got to do the whole no Aiden Hutchinson, which they'll be okay without him, but that's a big loss for them long term.
And a game I shouldn't care about, but I've admittedly fallen into the trap because the athlete has the ability to do that to me. Jets Steelers, Russ Wilson probably starting for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Sunday night's a little more interesting now.
Well, it's just interesting because I don't think either team's very good. But what is the fallout from Jets losing? And then what's the reaction if the Steelers lose?
I mean, it's a
Russ sucks.
Yeah, I don't get the Russ Wilson move. We talked about that yesterday. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've seen him play the last 2 years. You can tell me Fields isn't a great passer. That's fine. He's an athlete that can run around and make plays, and you're 4-2. He's winning games with you. There's no sense of urgency in my mind to make a change there. And the Jets move out of desperation. It would be hilarious if they lost their first game with Devontae Adams, who is going to play. He's no longer injured. Out of the blue, he is no longer injured and will be healthy enough to play Sunday night.
I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl this year. I've got my eye on one of the Monday night games because Baltimore, they've kind of figured it out, and they have a stupid loss on their resume with that Raider game.
Had no business losing that game. They win that game 9 out of 10 times.
I'd say you win that game 19 out of 20 times. Like 99 out of 100, they're winning that game, but they did lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar is the leading MVP candidate in the NFL.
Yes, he is.
He's on track to win his third MVP, which would piss a lot of people off because he has zero Super Bowls.
Well, it's because he's not a top five quarterback, Sprague. Come on. What are we doing? Jalen Hurts is better than him. What are we talking about here?
His QBR against blitz pressure has risen like 20 percentage points. It's ridiculous.
It's one of those games that will get lost in the shuffle because it is Monday night, but you went through a handful.
That's how to get lost in the shuffle.
I think it is. I think a lot of the attention is, well, just in terms of the great weekend stuff, like we barely even talked about a Super Bowl rematch. We got a Super Bowl rematch. We hardly even touched on it. The Green Bay Houston game is awesome because you got two great young quarterbacks. Detroit Minnesota is an incredible game. I'm super pumped to watch Seattle go on the road to Atlanta.
Super pumped about that game?
I am, just to see how they. I mean, that could be an elimination game in certain sense of the word for them and their postseason chances. Jets and Steelers has great storylines going into Sunday night, and I love the Ravens on Monday night.
Chargers-Cardinals is going to be the game nobody talks about.
Yes.
Ravens-Bucks is standalone Monday for most people. I don't think that's going to get lost
in
the shuffle.
Well, that Chargers-Cardinals game is also ESPN Plus exclusive.
Just a plus game?
Right. Yeah. So, we know a lot of people won't watch it. Ravens winning at Tampa, get ready for the Tuesday narrative of they're the best team in football, here we go again. But if Tampa wins, Baker MVP stuff... Hey, how about Tampa as the NFC? I don't even know if you call them a dark horse at that point because they were good last year. But
talk about a team with a clunker loss that didn't make a lot of sense. Their loss to Denver at home when they just no-showed is the one they're going to look back on in Tampa.
It absolutely is. Teams have this every year, every week. But
they went on the road and beat Detroit.
Detroit,
who they lost to in the playoffs.
So that was the look-ahead spot. No respect given to a bad Bronco team at that point. And then Denver came and whooped their ass.
Yeah.
And that was the instant.
It was over in the first half. It was
14-0. 20-0, and you're like, well, yeah, this is over. They just didn't bring it today, and they did not respect their opponent.
I mean, he said, as the two guys who know football pretty well, thank you. We are geniuses here. Jerry Jones would disagree. Can you explain to a lifetime 49er fan how after 5 weeks of inconsistent red zone football, we can be favored over an undefeated two-time defending Super Bowl champion? Throwing Andy Reid's ridiculous record off of a bye, it's even more unbelievable. Yes.
And I think last time Mahomes was at San Francisco, he carved him up. It was the first game for McCaffrey, coincidentally, carved him up in that game.
Yeah,
I don't get it either. I love my Niners. I would bet Kansas City in that game if I bet on that game.
Yes.
Give me Mahomes with points all day.
Mahomes with plus money does not happen very often.
Spags has been putting Shanahan in the blender in Super Bowls. Chris Jones, I mean, my God.
Yeah, and the narrative won't be there even if they win, because I saw a bunch of, even Steve Young was doing an interview, can we stop with this whole Super Bowl? You win, yes, they need the win because they're 3-3 on the year. It does not save any. Thing. It does not make you feel better. You've lost two Super Bowls to this team. A regular season win in week, whatever it is, 7 or 8, is not going to change any of that.
This narrative seems ridiculous to me, but it's a real one that has changed, and it's involving Dan Lanning. Next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here. We have a lot more to get into. A couple of station-related notes. Congratulations to one Danny Meringue. He's doing a Blazer show on K2 now, post-game show.
There you go.
1080 on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And Big Will's Betts is back. He's taking Iowa State to beat UCF this weekend.
Aha.
It's a controversial pick.
Very controversial.
My only bone to pick with Big Will's Betts. As a fellow BetQL coworker, I enjoy the Big Will's Betts. Pick tougher games. Yeah, go with the big games of the week.
Give me the Georgia-Texas pick there.
Where are you going, Bama and Tennessee? That's an awesome game.
I know why you take Iowa State over UCF minus 13. UCF sucks. And Iowa State's in first place.
They are undefeated, although they are eking out a lot of games. Give me Miami-Louisville. You
there
got the Stones to pick that game.
That trap game?
9 a.m. game on the road.
Game.
4.5. Okay. Huh? Do we like the Cardinal to cover? Is Papa in the house? Or is Mario coming in there, kicking the door down?
Yeah.
I want that one.
So there's some station related things. We'll get to our big PP picks, our Pac-12, Big Ten picks for the weekend.
Yes, we will.
Got an old school Benny and Cougar coming back. What's Cougar's mascot's name?
Butch.
Butch
the Cougar.
Butch the Cougar.
Which is a pretty, you know, just a funny mascot name, Butch the Cougar.
Why?
I don't know. I just, that makes me chuckle.
Okay. Butch and Benny.
Hey, it's Butch. What's up, Butch? Who came up with that?
I don't know.
I'm just asking questions. What's the Cougar history? Do we have a Cougar historian out there? They're kind of freaking out this weekend because they have a lot of tickets available for their game. I've seen that trending on
social.
The Cougars do, yeah.
Who do they play?
They got Hawaii at home, I believe, and it's like is it a late kick? Let me double check.
That game sucks.
I know, it's a terrible game.
Either. I'm watching it at home in my bed.
Not a late game. Correction. Oh. A 12:30 game, but there are a lot of tickets available. The Rainbow Warriors, now a full-time member of the Mountain West, are in town in Pullman.
This is the thing those two schools maybe took into account or didn't take into account enough. Like, how many people want to go watch Hawaii?
Not many, Bob.
It's not an exciting game to
go. I'd go to Hawaii if I had the money to do it, but I don't know if I'd want to go watch my team play Hawaii at home.
I saw Bernice Beavers coming back this week, and that's the big takeaway. That, and we're wearing our old school Benny helmet, which is going to piss me off again because the best logo and helmet option we have, we wear it twice a year.
Is Bernice not a permanent mascot?
She's been
what are we gonna say,
seasonal? What are we?
Like, I don't
pumpkin
know.
Spice.
Say what you were going to say.
I think they threw her back in the kitchen is what you did.
We let her come out twice a year. That's
I don't know
it.
What they brought her back.
Get back in the house, Bernice.
They threw her back in, and now they brought her back out. I don't know what they're doing, Bernice.
Two games a year, that's it.
I didn't even know who Bernice was till a couple years ago. I didn't have my history in Oregon State that way.
The female mascot trend is pretty funny that we got that now.
I don't know how many other people are doing. Well, we had her before.
You've had her before. The Mets, I believe, have a lady. Don't they have a lady Mets?
There's Matt, Mr. and Mrs. Matt.
Yeah. She got a fang in the back.
She does. She's got a badonkadonk.
Oh, yes, she did.
Like the Incredible Mom.
Mr. Matt, I was wondering why he was happy. Why
feeling
he was
things
smiling.
I shouldn't be feeling right now. I'm a little uncomfortable. That's a mascot.
Why are you feeling that way? Well, there's a female baseball mascot. Big baseball head with a big backside. So it's an interesting weekend. There might be some upsets brewing. Your Ducks play on Friday.
They do. Friday Night Lights.
I love that Duck fan has convinced themselves to be nervous about Purdue. I've seen Purdue play.
Last time we were there, double overtime game. Barely survived. 2008. It was like it was
Thank
yesterday.
Okay.
LeGarrette Blount had a big game.
2008.
2008, man.
Thank you.
Back in my prime.
What year is it?
It's like 2011, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's 2012.
It was just a couple years
just
ago.
Just right there,
it?
Dude, in the rearview mirror.
What I find interesting is a couple narratives this week. Now, we did kick off this week's show. I used the word validation, right?
Yes.
Validation of Lanning's recruiting, his intensity, his attention to detail, and he hadn't quite had the win that made everybody believe. And then he beats Ohio State. And so it was a validation of, like, I knew this guy was on the right track and doing the right things. You needed to see it. You saw it. I have found interesting, one, Ohio State's coping the last, like, 3 days. The rule stuff, the clock stuff, the penalty stuff. You lost. Shut up. Just shut up. Okay? I also love, conversely, Oregon fan. As if they had gotten no attention ever in the last, like, 40 years of their program's history this week. We did it! We finally... You've been to two natties.
We have.
Can you just for a minute act like you've been to two natties in the last like 15? Can you at least act that way?
It was a pretty big win. It's a pretty big win.
It was a big win, but I find that kind of reaction funny. And the other one I find funny is Oregon now having to act like they're the hunted, but they were the hunter before.
Yeah, nobody talked about us before this weekend. Nobody gave us any chances.
Where were you ranked going into the Ohio State game?
I think they were unranked. I think they were 27th receiving votes and then jumped all the way up to number two. It was the biggest climb in AP poll history,
well,
buddy.
Dan Lanning was asked yesterday on primetime about having the big target on the back. You beat Ohio State. You're number two in the land. You have the target on your back, Dan Lanning.
Yeah, I've always felt like we always get everyone's A game, to be honest. I always feel like people try to bring their best, and there's nobody out there that coaches that's not trying to coach their team to play their best when they play us or any other team. So, I don't think it completely changed the process. It probably just changed the narrative, and it changes the fact that there's more and more noise that doesn't matter, that we have to train ourselves to ignore. But it doesn't change, what our focus is and our process.
Amen, brother. You are already the hunted. This is not some new narrative thing that got flipped of now.
I don't think anybody at Oregon's even trying to argue that.
I don't think anybody at Oregon is.
No, I didn't really quite understand that question. I think they've been hunted for a long time. I think people like trying to beat Oregon, and people hate Oregon, and there's always been a target on their back for the last, 25 years. Like, you think Boise State didn't have that game circled on their calendar? You weren't hunted in that one. You don't think, some of the guys on UCLA's team who transferred away from the Oregon team to go to UCLA didn't have a target on their back? Like, you have been hunted for a long time. Now, maybe it takes on a different meaning because you're truly one of the top two or three teams in the country now. And there's, like, we were a month ago asking, you asked me the Monday after the Boise State game, has my opinion changed on Dan Lanning? Like, that's where we were at a month ago. So maybe it's on a different level now, but you have been hunted for a very long time.
Is there going to be more Duck fans in West Lafayette Friday?
I don't think so. I actually think, as much as we make fun of Purdue, I still think they go to games.
Do they?
I think so.
I haven't followed home Purdue games in a long time.
Now, the only one I've seen at home closely of theirs, I watched their Notre Dame game because they played Oregon State the next weekend, so I went back and watched that game.
I guess I saw that one a little bit.
But I don't know how many of those were Notre Dame fans, to be fair. It's all gold, so they all kind of blended together. But that reeks to me of a town where there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
And all they do,
West Lafayette, Indiana,
is Purdue football.
Like, if I'm Dusty
and the number two team's coming to town, like, I think there's going to be a good crowd on Friday.
Is Dusty on the air today, or is he traveling today?
I believe he's traveling today. They're traveling out today.
If I'm Dusty, this was the one, like, I'm telling my wife in my house, God, I don't want to go on this trip. You like doing the job, but it's like the one where you're like, oh my God.
Not a lot of redeeming qualities in West Lafayette. They're not even staying in West Lafayette.
That used to be the problem.
They're staying in Indianapolis.
They don't have enough hotels in West Lafayette.
Did you see why?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, the Big Ten Championship
Big
stuff.
Big Ten Championship
potentially,
stuff.
Yeah.
Get your mind right. This is where we're going to be again, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Do the Doc Rivers thing. Put a stack of cash in the ceiling. Come back and reclaim it after we beat whoever it is.
Gonna go visit the duck out there in the river.
Yeah, go wave to the duck.
No, it's down in Eugene now. They had it out for games.
Made it home
over by the walk.
I think the other part of this though is also that they have to have a big infrastructure when it comes to hotels for meetings and walkthroughs, and you have to have big ballrooms, and they require a lot of space when they take up a hotel. And I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say that West Lafayette does not have a hotel that will fit their needs, and so I think that was the other part of why they were staying in Indianapolis. And you get a police escort from Indy to West Lafayette.
An hour drive.
Yeah, but with the police escort, though, you're getting there in 35 minutes. So they're going to fly down the highway.
Are they flying 90 miles an hour?
They will get just like when they go to Corvallis and they take their buses, they get a police escort.
It's pretty flat out there.
You're not going 59 miles an hour in the right lane. You got 37 motorcycle cops flanking all of your team buses.
It's always a little odd when the home team does the bus arrival, isn't it? It throw you guys off. Does Oregon do that? Oregon does it, don't they?
I mean, they do stay in a hotel when they're at home, yeah. So I think they take a bus over to the facility.
I can't tell you how many times I've driven to a game as a media member. I don't go to games really anymore, but when I did, how many times I would be arriving at the same time as the Beaver buses from Albany.
Yeah.
Because, God forbid, you trust your student-athletes to stay in a hotel before.
No. God, no, we're not doing that.
We're staying out of town.
That's right.
I don't know where Oregon stays, but I know Oregon State used to stay or probably still stays in Albany.
Yeah, we see the team. Remember, we're on the pregame show. The opposing team buses will drive right in front of us with like a half hour left in the show. That's usually when they start arriving. I love the fans that flip off the bus as they pull into the parking lot. Like, all right. So you get to see that spectacle. But I think Oregon pulls around the other side of the stadium, so we don't see them come in.
It's just always funny to watch them come off of a bus for their home game to do the pom-pom, town hall, pump up, hey, you're here.
The funniest one of all is Clemson, who has to, when they take the field, they have to get dressed in their locker room,
put
all their stuff on,
to the other end
take a bus to the top of the stadium.
To go down the hill.
Howard's
Rock and run down
the hill. That has to be uncomfortable, fully padded, sitting next to somebody else fully padded. Like, you're probably jacked and everybody's getting pumped, but that's a little uncomfortable.
Well, they have, six buses, so I think everybody gets,
like the their double C.
Their own row. We just can't fit two offensive linemen fitting into two of those tight spots.
Does Dabo still run down the hill every weekend?
He does.
I believe so.
He does.
Are we going to live long enough to see the moment when he's old guy not acknowledging he's old and he just starts rolling down that thing accidentally?
Falls and trips down it. What happened to Dabo? They got an alternate coach in today. He fell down the hill.
That's going to be like our Frank Gore Jr. played on Monday Night Football and it was like, oh my God, we're old.
Yeah.
That's going to be our, hey, we're old. How old? I used to watch Dabo run down that hill, no problem.
We live long enough to see Joe Paterno poop his pants on the sideline, so maybe we'll see that with Dabo, too.
We'll get to our big PP picks at 8:15. We have a lot to get to. Dirt and Sprague back with more. But
all right, we got a lot to get to in the next hour and 20 minutes. One of the great philosophers of our time ponders a question that many have wondered, and we have answers for you. We'll get to that. Big PP picks coming up at 8:15.
You know what today's the anniversary of?
What is today the anniversary of?
It is the 20-year anniversary of Dave Roberts stealing second against the Yankees.
2004.
I feel like that guy's been the manager of the Dodgers for 20 years.
Feels like it. They're coming out with a Netflix documentary on that. I believe the comeback for the Red Sox in that series.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still move it for you? Is that one you want to watch?
I don't know how good it'll be. Yeah. I get why you'd maybe say, we've heard the stories. But like
all the people are in it. Dave Roberts, Curt Schilling, Manny, David Ortiz.
See, I go the other way. I like those. They've given me more time. They've collected more information. The ones I'm not quite getting, I watch a lot of NFL Network, and I watch all the England games. I don't know if you've seen this. Have you noticed the NFL Network is doing these football lives?
I've seen them, yeah.
They're doing ones on, like, Justin Jefferson.
Already?
Yeah.
Little early.
They had another one, and I forget who it is, but it's like somebody in year three.
Bo Nix football life.
Well, what? I'm just like, what are we making these for? Why would
well,
you do
is
that
is it
right
more
now?
Chronicling, like, youth football and whatever?
Well, Justin Jefferson tease was like, yeah, you could see it early at LSU. And I'm like, that was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that
it's
vividly.
Not like this was a decade
this
plus.
Isn't Jerry Rice, Mississippi Valley State coming out of nowhere in the 1980s.
I just was kind of like, Could you choose a coach?
Yeah.
Or
I'm with you on that. Sometimes
Patrick
we do it
Willis
too quickly.
Patrick Willis just got in the Hall of Fame.
He did.
Maybe they've done one on him, but like, yeah. I kept hearing Justin Jefferson. I'm like, he's in year four. What
Caleb Williams, a football life, his legendary career. He's played five games. What are we doing? Yesterday, the USA Today released their head coach salaries in college football.
These make every fan base feel great.
Makes everybody feel good. We all know the highest paid coach now in the sport, Nick Saban, is gone. Kirby Smart has taken over that mantle. $13.2 million is what Kirby Smart makes a year.
Might have a second loss this weekend.
He could. His school buyout, by the way, just a hilarious, ridiculous number. His school buyout right now on his deal, $118 million to buy out Kirby. Not going to happen, but it's just funny to see that.
So for those that see all these off-the-field arrests happen and say, why don't they do something to Kirby?
That's why.
Well, they can't afford to fire him.
$120 million to get rid of the guy.
He runs the athletic department. What do you think?
Let me ask the fun question, and then we'll get to some of the coaches if people are curious about how much they're making. Which coach and salary do you feel worst about in the top 10? If this guy is your head coach and you're paying him that much money.
There's definitely one that I'm going to answer easily.
So here's the rest of your top 10. Dabo is number 2, $11.1 million a year. Steve Sarkisian is number 3, $10.6 million. Lincoln Riley, number 4, just a hair over $10 million a year. Ryan Day is number 5, slightly behind Lincoln Riley, just over $10 million. Mike Norvell, number 6, flat $10 million. Kalen DeBoer, number 7, flat $10 million. Mm-hmm. Brian Kelly at LSU is $9.9 million. Mark Stoops, basically $9 million. And then Lane Kiffin is number 10 at Ole Miss at $9 million flat. He's tied, by the way. Eli Drinkwitz and Josh Heupel both also make $9 million, but with his bonuses, he's slightly ahead.
I'm not sure it's particularly close, despite what Lincoln's season has been with the last couple years for Dabo have been. I know Lane's lost 2 games already. This isn't close.
Not
Why
close.
Is Mark Stoops in the top 10?
Yeah.
What has Mark Stoops done to be a top 10 football coach in all of college football.
Who actively tried to leave that job last year for the A&M job, and then they ended up hiring Mike Elko instead.
What are you getting out of that? I guess I would ask. Like, with Lincoln, at least you got a Heisman out of it. You got a Pac-12 title game appearance his first year.
Well, that's what you had to pay him to get him away from Oklahoma. You got to throw a bag at him.
Right. Now, eventually that may sour as well, him being as high as he is. But on that top 10 list, it's easily Mark Stoops.
Yeah, that's not even close. That is the easy answer there.
Who would you rather have, Josh Heupel or Mark Stoops?
Josh Heupel.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Outside of the top 10, if you're curious on some of the other big names, Dan Lanning comes in at 14th on this list.
That's going to change in the next few months, even though I think he just got an extension.
Yeah, they haven't really publicized. People have said that he signed one last offseason, but they didn't really announce anything. He's at $8.2 million. So he's just outside the top 10. He is ahead of Mario Cristobal, which surprised me. Cristobal's at 7.7. He comes in at 16th on this list. Jed Fish, 19, also at $7.7 million. Your boy Jonathan Smith at Michigan State, wondering what kind of bag he got thrown at him.
He got a good bag.
$7.2 million for Jonathan Smith. He is 22nd on this list.
He went to a school that gets $80 million in TV money. It's got good booster backing. And, oh, by the way, I think he went from 3 to 3.5 to 7.2.
It's a big bump right there.
And usually when you make those leaps, you go to a school that probably pays for your country club membership and a sick-ass house.
You're getting some good perks with it. Yeah. The local schools in the Pac-2, Jake Dickert is 62nd. He's making $2.55 million. And then Trent Bray comes in at 69th. Nice. Just a hair over $2 million a year.
And that's part of hiring Bray, right? It's the culture. It's the he's been there. He played there.
Yeah.
Grew up there. Also, hasn't coached anywhere. It's pretty cheap.
No, it's just, man, you don't need to pay him any more than that. And if he wins and he proves it, then you give him more money. But as of right now, he doesn't really deserve more than that. His buyout is $5 million, if you're curious on that. So the numbers came in, how much coaches are making around the country, and there are the headliners for you, the top 10, and then where the coaches in the Northwest fall. We will answer a question that has faced humanity for a very long time coming up at the top of the hour. I want to play a little peekaboo with the upcoming weekend in college football and one storyline this week that we've kind of teased, but we haven't talked about yet. And what would we feel if we were fans of this school? We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll get to a scenario in life that sometimes poses a challenge, and how do philosophers feel about it? We'll get to that at the top of the hour. Big PP picks at 8:15. We got Bo Nix and Thursday Night Football. Lots still to get to on the show. I want to take a quick look at the weekend slate, but before we do that, we have kind of teased it and danced around it. Haven't really got into it too in-depth, and I did want to bring it up here. There is a storyline floating around college football that I don't know how I would feel if I were a fan of that team. I think I would be rather upset. We all watched the Arizona State Sun Devils beat Utah on Friday night. And
he's got a dog mentality.
I think there was a pretty easy takeaway in that game is that, dude, Cam Rising is not himself. He looks like a shell of himself. He looks terrible. He can't move. He got rolled up on early in the game. This is not looking good. And then Utah announces early in the week that Cam Rising is indeed injured. They're not sure how long, and then confirm, look at that, Cam Rising is out for the year. He's going to miss another year of college football. He has not played in four games again this year, so you know what that allows him to do?
Yeah, redshirt and be eligible for a eighth
season of college football.
We don't know if he's going to do it, though.
We do not know if he's going to do it. If you were a Utah fan, would you be please, for the love of God, don't do this
Go
again.
Away.
I'm so done with this story.
Kyle, if you're going to retire, I think maybe do it. You need to usher in a new thing.
Yes.
He's clearly got a good team, but their quarterback play has been suspect.
This is the same season they're having last year where there's talent all over, but remember, he couldn't play last year.
What was the cap before Rising? They went to the Pac-12 title game.
Snoop Huntley. I believe was right before him.
That's right, yeah. So like,
and they lost to Washington and lost to Oregon in back-to-back Pac-12 title games.
But those were really
good
teams.
They were good teams.
Those were really good teams. And so I don't know if it's Isaac Wilson. I don't know if it's the other kid. I don't know who it is, but it ain't Cam Rising. And you need to stop. Like, sometimes the sport tells you, and it's at different ages for different people, it just tells you when you can't do it anymore. Cam Rising's not meant to play tackle football.
No. Nope.
I just think it's safe to say that at that point. Come back for an eighth season. I will just count the seconds until you're hurt again. If I'm a Utah diehard, I love me some Kyle Whittingham. I am begging and screaming in my living room to please move on, everybody.
Yeah, Isaac Wilson, to your point, he's thrown 7 interceptions in his appearances so far, but he's a true freshman. Like, that would be more exciting to me as a fan of, like, we're not, this clearly is not going to be the year that we thought coming in. Cam Rising got hurt again. And so we're probably not going to win the Big 12, although that is a completely chaotic and wide-open conference still. And I think they only
have, yeah, but you're behind the eight ball.
But they're incredibly behind the eight ball and some head-to-head losses that are going to hurt them. Start the freshman the rest of the year, which they're going to do. And let's see what we got. And maybe that leads to a momentum build for next season. You cannot have the same season back-to-back years and then say, sign me up for that again. What in any way, shape, or form historically is going to tell you that this guy's going to stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
This is the exact same year that they had last year where we knew that they were talented. We knew they were good up front. They had a great defense. We all knew that, but they couldn't win games that when it mattered mainly because they didn't have a quarterback, and now they're the same team because he's hurt again. So I would hope that they move on at that point. And if I were him, I'd probably want to move on, but we'll see how that plays out. He could get an eighth year of eligibility. Which, what is Cam McCormick in? Is he in year nine?
Year nine.
Dear God, man. Dear God. So that's the story out of Utah this weekend. Can I entice you in a great weekend of college football? Some under-the-radar games.
Well, the way you poo-poo the NFL, I kind of want to play the
you wanna
opposite play,
you
game.
You want to poo-poo my games?
I'm sure everybody
Let's
cares.
See what you got.
Well, Bama, Tennessee, and Georgia, Texas are the two games that everybody will
take the cake.
Those are the highlights. Those are the specialty games of the weekend, and I'm very excited for both of them. Can I sell you at all on Michigan and Illinois?
Eh.
No? Okay.
Because I think Illinois can win that game. Michigan can win that game. It's not really...
They have officially moved on to the guy who played in against the Huskies. What's his name? The
Warren
quarterback.
Davis?
No.
Davis Warren.
No. I think he's the other guy that got benched. Hold on. Let me pull up his name.
We're out of the orgy.
We're out of the... No
Where
more orgy.
We now?
We're not orgying. That's over. Jack Tuttle.
Tuttle, that's
the
right.
The seventh year.
Oh, is that...
Waited his turn.
I grew up with a kid named Tuttle. You know, I don't really have a care in that game. Illinois winning makes it more interesting for Oregon next week in terms of us talking about it. But if they lose, it's going to be okay.
If they win, they'll be a top 20 team. If they lose, it's all right. Illinois is coming to town.
They were lucky to survive Purdue's massive comeback.
Very lucky.
It'd be kind of funny if Michigan lost this game. Because I think, despite how Michigan fan may feel right now, I think panic starts kind of setting in.
4-3.
You're losing to Illinois now? That was not something... Harbaugh didn't do that.
No, 4-3, and you still have Oregon on the schedule in a couple of weeks, and you still have Ohio State at the end of the year in Columbus.
Although, cue a game that I'm forgetting where they did lose to Illinois, and Michigan fans were like, actually, spread.
Actually. Well, I mean, they did have that one... I think the COVID year was the one that they were questionable, but that doesn't count.
COVID,
exactly. They almost fired him, and that would have been a bad idea. Okay, sticking in the Big Ten quickly, anything on Nebraska-Indiana? Does that do anything for you at 9 a.m.?
Yeah. Why does it not?
It's Indiana's undefeated. Defeated. Nebraska going on the road. They're coming off a bye. That's a pretty good game.
Well, the underrated thing I learned yesterday, I watched an interview. I did not know, fun fact, Cignetti, a Saban guy. So, like, maybe he's one of the Saban guys that understood. I think you see this with some coaches. Saban's tree is interesting. You can give him Lane and Sark if you want. I would more say he helped kind of rebalance them, but they were already smart football guys. Whereas, like,
Kirby,
what he did for Dan Lanning early in his career, Mario and kind of the redemption after the FIU thing failed, you can look at some stuff and say, okay, his tree is good. If Cignetti, and he was really praising what he learned from Nick Saban.
He's a Google me bitch guy. He's got a lot of swagger.
He's got a lot of FU, and your team takes on your attitude. And so, like, Indiana is a really fun story with a fun offense. You can get me with that one.
I like that line for the Huskers, by the way. 6.5, that seems like there's a couple of good defensive teams. I could see that being somewhat tight and competitive. Nebraska coming off a bye. That seems like a lot of points for a couple of really good. Well, there's only one combined loss between the two teams this year. That's at 9 a.m. Miami on the road at Louisville.
This is a trap setup I'm curious about.
Do they continue to play down to competition? They did it against Virginia Tech, and everybody thought, all right, that's one down game. Are you going to do it again? And they should have lost to Cal. I still don't know how they won that game. And then they, I believe, also had a bye last
last week, and now they're going on the road to Louisville for a 9 a.m. kick. Louisville has not been good this year. They were a team that came in with expectations maybe they can hang in the ACC. They have not been great, but let's not act like Cal and Virginia Tech are also awesome. So Miami has been playing down to teams for basically a month now.
Yeah, they have, and this was a game, I think, going into the year that for everything Virginia Tech and Cal was to Miami, people circled this one as being that, right? Now, Miami coming off of the bye. We're going to learn about Miami this weekend. Do they play down to an opponent again? Or are we going to learn that this is kind of who they are? They're shaky. They're a little untrustworthy, but they're led by an amazing quarterback.
Who's going to make a play late because he's, after throwing two dumb picks, will make a play to save the day.
And oh, by the way, Restrepo catches everything within his vicinity.
He does, man.
He had a catch on the ground.
Yes. Against Virginia Tech, I think it was where he fell down on like a fourth down and still caught the ball.
I couldn't believe it. Saved the game for him, actually. And then he had some clutch catches against Cal on some third and fourth downs, too. So I think we learn a lot about Miami this weekend.
Last one for you. A top 10 team has already lost here. Does another top 10 team add that to their resume? LSU on the road at Arkansas off of their big win against Ole Miss.
Taylor Green's going to play.
He's going to play. Yeah. They're going down to Fayetteville. It's a night game at Fayetteville. Remember, Tennessee went down there a couple weeks ago and found themselves with an L coming home.
Yeah.
LSU back into the top 10. They're back in the dirty pool. Attention back on them. They're going down to Fayetteville at night.
Not
going
to be an easy place to play. This is why Brian Kelly's in the top 10 coaching paid category. This is why you pay him.
You got to win this game.
You have to win these games. Now, you could be prone for upsets. You can lose one. They've already lost a game to USC. If I'm an LSU big booster, I'm just thinking in my head the entire time, okay, not an easy place to win. This is why we're cutting this check.
Just go win by a few. I don't have to blow them out.
Care.
Just go win the
just
game.
Win the game.
Just win the
just
game.
Just win the game. Tennessee couldn't do it. Go win the game.
Yep. An interesting point of the Vancouver Ford text line, too, that Miami-Louisville game. I forgot about this. You know who Louisville's starting quarterback is this year?
Miami guy?
No. A Mario Cristobal guy.
Tyler Shuck.
Tyler Shuck is the Louisville. He's a Louisville quarterback now. Somebody said he's going to get revenge for benching him for Anthony Brown.
Would be actually really funny.
Think about that fever dream of Mario Cristobal, Tyler Shuck now facing each other in Miami and Louisville.
Yeah.
What a weird
timeline. Is Duck fans happy if Shuck wins, right?
Yeah. I got no hard feelings for Tyler Shuck. I don't care. Go win the game, man. He helped us beat him last year at Texas Tech. That was great. He helped us out in that one. There you go. A little peekaboo for the weekend. It's a good little weekend of football, folks. This is a nice one to kind of sit down on the couch and enjoy it, both on Saturday and on Sunday. We'll get to the big PP picks coming up at 8:15. Bo Nix is on Thursday Night Football tonight, and we got the Sean Payton return game. Are we excited for that? Will the baseball playoffs finally deliver a close game? We'll talk about that as well. But a question that philosophers have pondered for a long time. Start the final hour next on The Fam.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.